Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're like, hey, wait a minute, I didn't hear part one. Guys, it's because we put out a lot of recaps. Go back and listen to part one, okay? It's before this one. Bye. Enjoy the show.
So Kendall and Liam go back downstairs and everyone's like, whoa. Like Brooks is like, where were you guys? They went down to Atlantic City. They're upstairs. Where were you guys? So Ava's like, do you guys want to tell us what the conversation was? First time anyone has asked that about a Liam and Kendall conversation. I'd like to add.
And Ariana's like, hello, I'm in the room. Jeez. And Kendall's like, I'm a vault. They can try and get anything out of me, but I'm a vault.
Yes. We are aware.
So Ariana has anxiety because she knows they were talking about her. I'm clammy. And now Liam, actor, filmmaker, is making steaks. I'm basically a chef too. I'm a firefighter, actor,
I auditioned
nature
for the
wildlife preserver, cabin owner, and chef. Pretty much a chef.
Yeah, I'm actually really good friends with Jeremy Allen White. We auditioned together for the Bruce Springsteen movie, and I was like, bro, born in the USA, right? And he's like, born to ride. And I was like, I don't get it. But he got the role. I don't know why, but he's a cool guy. He taught me some cooking tricks from Chicago, his Chicago restaurant that he does. And like, I'm basically part chef, part actual bear now. So it's pretty cool. It's just the actor's life.
You know what's crazy is that I've become a chef, but I've also become a quesadilla. So wrap your brain around that one.
I don't know how it happened.
What you feel.
You know what they say, you are what you eat? But when you're an actor, it's you are what you feel. And I feel quesadillas. You know what I'm saying?
When you're an actor, you eat what you are.
You ever see Bradley Cooper in that movie about Anthony Bourdain? It was a TV show, maybe, perhaps? I don't know. Sometimes I get them confused. It's all storytelling to me. But yeah, he was great. I auditioned for that, too. I think I was maybe 7 years old. But I think I had a good shot at it. I learned a lot from Coop. A lot. Anyway, cooking, am I right?
So Charlie is telling Georgia that he made up with Liam. He's like, yeah, I was like, I feel your situation. Like, I get it. I mean, whether exclusive or not, I don't know. Maybe someone should tell me at some point. They'll figure it out. And Georgia says, yeah, well, someone needs to try and, like, hook up with Liam. And, like, see what happens. Like,
So Georgia is... Georgia's like, shy. I feel like there's like a lot of things that you mistake as like malice when they simply just like aren't. He's like, if you're referring to your comment last night, like everyone thinks it's harsh. It's like, yeah, but like I was trying to give you a compliment that you're funny. And
yeah, because he like, just got offended because they were like, oh, Ava needs to try and seduce Liam. And Gia was like, Liam, shy would go into a downward spiral. And he's like, we're not friends enough to poke fun, you guys.
Okay.
So they're like, come on. Georgia says, I was just calling you a clown. That's because you're funny. And he's like, that's not a compliment. And Georgia goes, yeah, okay. But like jester, though, like jester. He's like, that's even worse. And then we get one of two scenes right in a row where people are like, wow, I'm really proud of being an idiot. And this one is Gia. And she's like, what even is a jester? Like, I forgot. I'm going to look it up on my phone right now. Jester. When somebody makes, like, a gesture while they're talking, like, with their arms. Wait, am I a gesture? What
is he mad about? I'm confused. I think she was serious. So then Gia's like, will you like the Anna Tina of your family in a way? And Shia's like, I mean, I was like the younger sibling. Like, humor was my easy way out. So George is like... Wait, so the tragic backstory is you wanted to be, like, liked more by the people around you? He's like, no, it's not tragic. I just used humor so people would like me, and those people were around me.
Yeah, okay, but, like, you're also the person that, like, goes on the mountain and then pulls your pants down, so...
We see it, that he did this. He, like, mooned everyone. And George
is like, well, I'm just trying to have fun. Look, I'm just like trying to like make people laugh.
Like a clown?
Yeah. So then Georgia tells us, I've always made people laugh from a very young age. I've made people laugh. This is what this has all been about the last couple days. Like, it's just like annoying.
Yeah. So Charlie's like, listen, man, to a certain extent, you can control how people treat you. like you just control what you tolerate. You know what I mean? And like, this conversation is already demanding more respect from people around you. So good on you, bro. Good on you. And we just hear foot bump. Brooks is walking behind them and just trips, staring at his phone. Brooks, he's like, he just looks around to see if they saw him. They're like, are you okay over there? He's like, sorry.
Brooks's best moment of the season, because they're having this like serious talk about demanding respect from others and like whatever personal boundaries, and then Brooks just like just as like careening forward in the background. It's amazing.
Demand respect himself, Brooks. It's like boom, boom.
Sorry, by the way, that I have a smoker's laugh today. Getting over a cold for people.
So they're like, asking everybody. Yeah, they'll just assume it's me. So I'm over here actually like vaping my face off. So they're saying, okay, what are the highs and lows of the trip? And Brooks is like, my high was like everybody supporting my brand today. Like, and they just kind of stay quiet and he goes, my socks. They're like, oh, right. Your socks. That was great. That was great.
You like literally gave everyone a pair of socks and like, thank you for supporting my brand. Like, you gave them free socks.
That was my high. Everybody supporting my brand.
Yeah.
And when he's doing a pop socks. Plus his heart.
He says that he's doing a pop-up on Friday, and he's like, so I probably shouldn't be on this trip right now because the Brooks Marks Resort Collection, BMRC, launches in 3 days, and we have to get the imagery finalized and have to coordinate the delivery, and we don't have any of the merchandise in the venue yet. I'm wondering what finalizing the imagery is going to entail, because I can't imagine photos of frigid models crossing a New York City street in your resort wear is going to really move the product the way you intend. So I'm wondering what they have to do to make that a solid marketing image.
Yeah, I don't know. We saw the website. So it's pretty much what you see there. It's a few hoodies. People are giving it a lot of shit for being too basic and uninteresting and stuff. I mean, that's what young people like to wear. My nieces both are like, you know what I just got? I just spent $100. And they're like sweat shorts, you know, and a tank top. Like, this is amazing. I don't know. I think it's pretty on trend and stuff. His dad came out and stood up for him today. He's like, gosh, this is so unfair to come after Brooksy. Let me explain to you what Brooks did. He revolutionized a new thing called Light Terry TM. That is not even terry cloth. It is a light version of terry cloth. He's cornered a whole new market. Okay. Whole new kind of terry.
Terry, no.
That was nice.
Seth, that was nice of Seth to stand up for the Terry Light. I would not be opposed to getting a Brooks Marks suit. I think that's fine. I actually don't have any problem with his resort wear. I just think his decision to market it by photographing his castmates like on a freezing cold December day as they like waft across a street amidst traffic just felt like maybe it wasn't achieving what the brand is trying to do. But who am I to speak? What am I?
Resort wear old in a December shoot outdoors.
Legend.
Sorry, girl. Sorry for being a legend. All right. I did buy a very light. It wasn't called Terry Light, but I bought a Terry cloth shirt just yesterday from, I think, Old Navy or something. And it was very, very thin. And I bought it in honor of Brooks. It's like, this is Terry Light. So I don't know. It's already out there, but he did come up with a new name for it. So that's good. So Georgia announced it. She's like, my high is like skiing again. Cause like this used to actually be like kind of a big part of my life. And then my low is Charlie clogging the toilet.
Oh yeah. Here's a great anecdote. And so she says that basically Charlie like blew his nose and clogged the toilet. And he's like, well, I use toilet paper. She's like, and then they're like, how much did you use? He's like, well, I mean, I just blew my nose. And so Georgia unclogged the toilet with her hand, which is really not good for her lore, I would say.
It just gave Riley another season. Riley's like, no, what? What? It's like, it was an emergency, okay? Like, when I lived with him, like, all he does is put things in the toilet that don't flush. It's like a thing that he does. I don't know.
That also tracks.
Leave it up to Georgia to make a story that's supposed to be gross about Charlie be gross about her. Now everybody's grossed out with Georgia again.
And then Rowan's like, he should put his ego in the toilet. That won't flush. Ha! Okay. So Shy announces that he himself is also doing a pop-up and he wants everyone to come, and he's excited for that. And so then we see Ava and Charlie talking, asking about any like work stuff coming up and everything, and Charlie is saying that he and Omar are going to be they're opening up a spot soon, which then opens the door to renewed discussion about whether or not he and Omar have stolen Georgia's bowling alley bar concept, which, by the way, is not original to Georgia.
Except
a brutalist angle, maybe.
The brutalist, yeah. But, I mean, Lucky Strike's been around for a zillion years.
Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, but you guys were like stealing my creative. He's like, no, we're not. We're not stealing your, what are you talking about? We're not doing anything with bowling. She's like, yeah, but there was other things other than bowling that steal my creative. Like one time I went into a grocery store and I was like, there's so many products here. And then another grocery store copied that idea. And I went to another grocery store and they had a lot of products. And that's why I'm suing that grocery store. I came up with that. He's like, no, you didn't. Okay. Multiple club. Okay. Well, tell me, what are your ideas? She's like, well, it's multiple floors, three stories. And then the third story is like members only. He's like, three stories? That's not yours. And members clubs are not yours. It's like, oh, okay. Well, now that I understand that you're not copying me, like, I totally want to get along now. Yeah, sorry. I didn't really understand. You're not stealing my creative.
He's like, the only thing that you could realistically claim intellectual ownership of is the concept of a bowling alley bar. She's like, oh, okay. As long as you don't have to wear snow boots, then that's fine, because I don't want any of the customers to feel demeaned. So then she's like, oh, okay. Okay, well, I didn't realize that. I wish, you know, that's too bad.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Georgia, I'm going to side with Charlie on this one, which is that, like, if she had actually just, like, listened to him, she would not have been so fierce. I mean, obviously, I don't actually think she was really mad about the concept of the bar. She just was mad that Charlie was working with Omar, because Omar's her ex, and it's, like, a very annoying thing to have, like, a friend of yours, someone in your circle, actively go into business and pursue a relationship with someone that you just got out of a relationship with. And I think that's probably what drove her frustration. But also, like, it's crazy that she just never even knew this is the only overlap in the entire concept.
Yeah, she wasn't mad about the concept. She was mad that he stole her investor, which, you know, fair. So she forgives him, and Amira's like, what the fuck? Like, I feel like a pawn. Now she just caused this humongous fucking car crash, and now she's just walking away unscathed. Like, what the hell? And now she's just moving it. Now she's just moving it. She's moving on, rather. So she's like, I'm left with the collateral damage of this stupid, petty fight.
She is, and that does suck. Although I think it's probably good that Amira knew what Charlie said. Even though it's a hurtful thing and, like, it sucks and their friendship is fractured by it, like, it's probably for the best. But it does suck when, like, two people are, like, in just, like, this, the biggest fight of all time, and then you get dragged into it, and then they're fine and you're the one left, you know, in shambles, and no one's going to check on you after that.
Yeah. So now Ariana's like, oh, well, is my ex investing with you too? And he's like, oh, what? Actually, like, I'll talk to him about it. Actually, yeah, like I'll talk. I mean, no, not yet, but he could. He could, like Hudson, Return of Hudson. And Gia says, I don't think Hudson's ever returning. He's like, well, I mean, I want him to, but like, I don't think he would. I mean, I said, Hudson, I want so badly for you to take control of how this narrative plays out, you know, like come to Thanksgiving, like do whatever, but like, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, he earned the right. You know, I was like, don't go down like a bitch.
And then Riley's like, can we be real, though? You said to his face, let's go around the corner, and he did not do anything. And we see a clip of them getting into that, like, almost fight last year when they were like let's go into the back alley and exchange fisticuffs. And basically how Charlie invited him to a fight, and Hudson did nothing about it. So Riley's like, it's, like, not a real man thing. You know Hudson will not do anything. Which, by the way, I don't like the real man thing is, like, oh, a real man will go and get into a fight. That's what a real man does. I'm like, I think, actually, I hate the idea of equating masculinity with getting into a stupid back alley fight. Honestly.
I agree with you, but I don't really have masculinity, and I don't fight. So, I don't know. I don't really correlate.
Well, also, let's not forget who Candy, like how Candy's ex died. Okay, let's not forget that either.
Jeez, way to bring it down, Ben.
I'm just saying, don't start promoting that real men go punch each other in an alley. Real men don't even get into the situation in the first place. That's what I say. But that being said, yes, I agree. Though Hudson won't do anything about it.
Well, Hudson could do something about it. But he could do like buy your entire block and then sell it to, you know, someone else and have you evicted. Like he could do something like that.
He'll explode a Lamborghini near your car.
I guess it's like toxic shit to be like, real men would fire. So then Amira is talking about how, you know, she basically tells us this. She gets upset and leaves the table. Well, not upset, but she's annoyed, so she leaves the table. And she says that Charlie said problematic shit, and if Georgia was so upset about it, then why would she be buddy-buddy right away with him again?
That's a great point.
So then Liam...
That's a great point. Like, if Georgia was so bothered by what Charlie had said enough that she felt like she needed to tell Amira, then... like that should still hang over you.
She wasn't bothered. She was just saying it because Amira was. She didn't want Amira to be Team Charlie. She was trying to get everybody against Charlie, and Amira was still Team Charlie. I mean, we know that. But so then Liam is talking to Ariana, and he's like, "Well, last night was like, so like, what are you guys? You know what I mean? Like, are you exclusive or whatever? Like, people are asking, and like, I thought we had a conversation about what was going on. Remember that? It was a huge house on a lake." A lake named after a person. His name was George. She's like, yeah, but that was uncomfortable. Like, I just learned that espresso's not real. So give me a minute.
Listen, I know I don't have to worry about fucking Charlie, but that whole Charlie situation, what that situation did, it's just like, it's not that it broke my trust, but it just made me a little bit, like, cautious with my trusts.
Are you talking about your emotional trust or are you talking about your trust fund?
I don't know, to be honest. It's a little bit of both. A little bit of both.
It's like, well, look, I won't go to Charlie's to go smoke a joint at 2 a.m. anymore.
Okay, because like past relationships, none of them ever started like this. I don't know. Like when you're an actor, you don't normally have this much of a tricky ride with a hot young bird.
Yeah, but this relationship, you're starting with someone who's kind of the star of a TV show that you just got cast on that you're chasing kind of for that reason. And she just broke up with someone 5 minutes ago. That you also know, and you didn't care about that. So I don't know. I don't really feel for, I'm not like a Liam hater. This is too much.
He's authentic. I that's my issue with him. And it's not like, I'm not saying that he's fake, which sounds like that. Like how could they seem intertwined. I feel like he's not authentically himself. He's very actorly in that way. I feel like he is presenting a persona that he has cultivated. And I think there's like a little bit of a block there. And I think actually everyone can pick up on it in some way.
Yeah. So she's like, well, I don't want to jump the gun here. Like if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And there doesn't need to be like a label on anything. Okay. Georgia is.
I'm not afraid of labels, by the way. not afraid of labels. Like, for instance, NR stands for not rated, which is what career I got my short film, submitting it to Sundance on Monday.
It's my deadline for waiting to hear about submissions or something.
So
Amira's crying in the bathroom and then pulls Charlie aside. She doesn't want the group into it, so she tells him, you know, I just want to talk to you alone. And she tells him she can't get it out of her head because of everything that happened earlier. And he's like, today? Like, did I even do anything today? I didn't even do anything today. She's like, no, not today. Earlier, you know, I know you want to move on and you joke around, but I can't let it go. And so she starts crying, like legit crying. And mm-hmm. I say that because it's Bravo. And there are actual tears. You know, like I'm looking.
This was a, I'm always looking. I think this is a very emotionally honest scene. I actually thought it was a heartbreaking scene because Amira is fundamentally hurt by this, as she should be. And it's really hard. And I do believe that Charlie was just going for an easy joke and he just sort of said it sort of flippantly, but like, that's the sort of thing you don't say flippantly in this context, you know? And really hurt one of his really close friends. And I think he's registering that. And so you sort of see someone realizing how they really fucked up, seeing someone who can't just laugh it off or excuse it. It really affects them in a deep way. And it was like heartbreaking to see these two have to sort of grapple with it. But it was also handled so maturely. It was like, I love you. I still want you to be a friend, but I need to have like a moment to heal. Because if you keep sending me memes, if you send me jokes, like everything is fine, like I'm just gonna become resentful and that's gonna torch our friendship. So I need to step away. And I was like, I thought it was a lovely scene, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a sweetheart. And he's like, I'm like so sorry. Like I don't really know what to say. She's like, no, you don't need to be sorry. There's nothing to really do. I'm just telling you where I'm at. And so he's like, you know, I would be devastated if we lost our friendship, and I hope you can forgive me. I really love you. And they hug and she's like, okay, bye.
Yeah. Although he keeps on saying this one thing that sort of like didn't land for me as nicely as I think he was trying it to. He kept on saying, I hate seeing a girl cry. I hate making a girl cry. And that's fine. But I feel like it's like you should hate that you hurt your friend fundamentally, not that you made a girl cry, you know? I sort of wish he had taken it to that place instead.
Yeah, Charlie's always kind of thinking of the reaction from other people. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, now I've made a girl cry, you know? Instead of
he is as like, much
wow, I deeply shy. Hurt a friend.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't want like, oh no, he doesn't want people to hate him. Actually, as much as he acts like he doesn't care, he actually really doesn't want people to hate him. And so I feel like his focus is on that reaction and not like, oh, I did something so deeply hurtful. But I do believe he seems to me, believe it or not, I hate to give a villain or someone who I just compared to Jax Taylor earlier, I hate to give him this sort of thing, but I do feel like he's contrite and, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, he's contrite, but again, he's someone who has to apologize 10 times a day. So, yeah,
so he's used to doing
at some point, it's just like someone pulling out their, you know. So now the next day, people are getting ready to leave and it's snowing. And let's see, it's still a lot of just people. So G is like, I'm going, like, I'm going to get an SUV tonight because, like, I got to go to Turks and Caicos. Does anyone want to come? And everyone's like, yep, but this time.
Bye.
Let's hit it.
Yep, bye. And so Georgia is in that car with Charlie and G, et cetera. And so basically Georgia leaves with Charlie the night before. And the producer's like, this is the second time you start a trip fighting with Charlie and left the trip together. She's like, I mean, I don't know. Like, we go on a trip and we hate each other. But then, like, I don't know. History doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. Which, please tell me she did not invent that, because that was so profound to me. And I was like, I cannot credit this to Georgia. Please tell me that she cribbed that from somewhere.
History does repeat itself, though. Isn't that the saying?
Oh, the saying is, I mean,
you don't want it to repeat itself.
Okay, good news, everyone. Good news. history doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes, is a quote. And it has been often, I think,
Mark Twain.
I'm trying to find a, is it, I th- so I,
it's Mark Twain.
Yeah. So there you go. Twain.
But I think that history does.
I knew it wasn't George. Wait, by the way.
Mark Twain.
Here's the lesson that I'm getting out of today's podcast. You guys, so I heard this really profound statement on Next Gen New York City, and I thought it was Georgia. Turns out it was Mark Twain.
Yeah.
Never the Twain shall
I meet. To your brain. Yeah.
It's like think the misattribution of all misattributions.
I forgot to talk about right after Gia, speaking of dummies, was like, oh my God, what is gesture? Didn't Brooke say a thing after that? Like, well, the Vatican wasn't built in a day. What was it, the Vatican? What wasn't built in a day?
I think he says that coming up about his brand, about like his pop-up or something.
Oh, okay.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then Liam and Ariana are in their room getting ready to go, and she's texting with Hudson, and he's like, wow, she's texting with Hudson too. Oh, it's annoying, you know? Like, other people in the outside world may be like, what the fuck are they doing? But for me, I think, you know, where we're at right now, I feel good. Like, she likes me. She told me I'm a dream. I'm not worried. Why would I be worried?
I'm not worried at all. I mean, am I carving a little chipmunk out of an old Stella Adler book? Perhaps, but I'm okay. So then everyone packs up.
At least I know if that Stella Adler book starts on fire, I'll be able to put it out because I'm also a firefighter.
So then they're leaving amidst this snowstorm, and they're all trying to get out there as soon as possible. But Rowan's like, wait, guys. I'm gonna take that rotisserie chicken. She's like, I want the rotisserie chicken because I want to make a chicken salad later, which honestly was so funny to me. I don't think we've ever seen anyone on Bravo do this like very human thing. Like, because everyone, there's always someone at the Airbnb who does this, and like they never show, because people on Bravo generally also don't eat. So the fact that she's like, I'm making a chicken salad. This is what's happening. She's like, will this rotisserie chicken be in a room temp car for the next 5 hours? Yes, but I don't care. There will be a chicken salad.
That was nasty. She just throws it into her bag. That car must have smelled.
Rotisserie chicken smell.
Get that shit out of here. So then back in the city, Meredith Marks is there talking to Bronson about his event. I don't think I'm even going to be able to make it because I'm going to be DJing. Sorry, Bronson.
Well, what else do you need for this event? Should we get you a crate of binkies to hand out to your fellow toddler friends?
That would be great. And then...
You invented Terry Light, which is very big. I invented the Brooksy Burrito when you were a little baby, in a way it folded up your little blankie. TM.
Which all stands for trademark and also toddler marks.
So then we see George is getting ready to do a practice pitch with her cousin and this guy who's like going to pretend to be like an investor. And it's for her cleaning product, which is no longer named Yuck. It's now called Messy, which I don't know. I actually kind of like Yuck probably more, believe it or not. Probably.
Yeah. Yes. She's like, we're going to run into trouble with trademarks with Yuck. But I think Messy too, no?
I mean, Fergie will have something to say about it, I'm sure. Messy.
I'm going to look up Messy trademark. Imagine Messy by TM. That's a folk song. Well, yeah. And Lola Young sang Messy, of course. Messy single. Well, I guess these are all songs. Is there not a trademark on Messy?
Didn't Fergie sing a song called Messy?
Yeah.
I don't think.
How come that's not showing up in the Google?
Yeah, that's not showing up. Must have been a different song.
So Brooks is doing his pop-up, and then we cut back and forth with that in Georgia. And she's like, yeah, my working title is Messy. Like, we're designing something. It's sort of a cult cleaning brand. It's not a cult until it becomes a cult. You know, just to make a cult. We're designing a cult cleaning brand. It's efficient, but like it's also safer than other things that clean you.
It's actually, when I say it's a cult cleaning brand, it's literally designed for cults to clean up their white robes. It's like really helpful.
It's for cults who like poop a lot. Like you put it in the toilet and then when you have to unclog it, your hand comes out naturally clean so you don't have to wash it after you unclog the toilet.
Yeah, I'm telling Sheila from Wild Wild Country. So Marcus, the guy, is like, well, one of the things you may or may not know is that when you start a company is that you may have to make a lot of sacrifices to make this successful. And she goes, yeah, my medium said this is one of the winning lottery tickets of my life. He's like, oh, yeah, probably not going to factor that into my investment decision, but I'm glad she's giving you confidence. Yeah.
The medium. So then we go to the pop-up, Brooks's pop-up, and Amira sees Georgia, but she's like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
And Brooks's speech, he's like, thank you so much for coming to my thing, everybody. And thank you. Please enjoy the drinks courtesy of Kahlua and hot chocolate from Flav City.
Flav City. And Shy is like, whoa, this is like serious. This is like buttoned up. Like my pop-up is like put together with duct tape. It's like complete 180 opposite. Like this is serious. And mine's like fun and like funny. It's like literally like we just want to make people to laugh. We want every single person to come in and laugh. I'm not a jester. So Brooks is, this is where Brooks has his monologue, Ronnie. This is the moment you've been waiting for.
The two of two.
The
two of two, proud of being a dumbass.
Yeah, two
episode.
Of two hits right here.
It's like, yeah, like, you know, I don't know about continuing my brand, but this pop-up shows that it's worth it. I mean, Flav City, am I right? Like, the Eiffel Tower wasn't built in 2 days or something. Wait, what was that? The Vatican. What wasn't built in 2 days?
We'll just let him sit with a Carmen Sandiego. Where in Europe is Carmen Sandiego, and see if he figures it out. So then Ava is asking if Charlie was invited.
In San Diego. Duh.
That was an SNL skit. They did a parody of the game show, except they called it Where in the World is San Diego? And then they're like, okay, where they had like gumshoe. And the people are like, it's right there. Like, what do you mean? Like, it's on the map. What do you mean? There's even a dot that says San Diego on your map. Like, oh, I guess our game show's over. So, Ava, so Charlie's not invited because my dad's here and he had some pretty strong words to say about my dad. And we see a flashback to Charlie being like, who gives a fuck about your dad? I don't fucking lie. I don't fucking lie. I hate your fucking dad.
Your dad's the least respectable fucking dad on planet Earth, okay? So now Georgia is talking to Seth, and she's like, can I pick your brain about something? Like, I'm starting a CPG company, and it's going to be cleaning. So do you have advice for early-stage startups? He's like, well, I love that. I love this. All right, you are in a category. I love the category. That's your first step. Good for you. You are killing it, category killer. God damn. Okay. Basically, you are an icon. You are an icon of cleaning. All right. You are the Ralph Lauren of cleaning. That's what's important with brands. Like, seriously? Whoa.
Now you're my daughter, too. Can we talk about pansexuality? George is like, I love Brooks Marks, but Seth Marks is like one of the greatest spiritual leaders of all of our time. He's like so high on my algorithm on Instagram. Like, I don't miss a story. He's kind of like Washington in that famous painting of him going across, what is it, the Hudson River? The Potomac River? Is it the LA River? Which one was it? See, Ronnie, there was actually three.
Three of three.
Bonus.
Yeah, here we go. Three of three.
Like the Delaware. The Delaware River. She's like, what? The Delaware. Delaware, which is famously where DuPont is located, her soon-to-be competitor.
Oh, wow. TM. So she's like, well, wait, but who was the guy, Willie Mays, that promoted OxyClean? He's like, Billy Mays. Yeah. I don't think that's a great example. Yeah. He died of a cocaine overdose. So, but we'll find a part. You know, put some storyboards together. I want you to present it. You are the brand. You are the, you have something on your hands right now.
Oh, it's poop. It's poop.
I'm a living example. By the way, I love that she thought it was Willie Mays, the baseball player, the famous baseball player. She's like, what's the name of that guy who promoted OxyClean? Babe Ruth?
Billy Mays.
Mickey Mantle?
Billy Mays.
Billy Baldwin?
I don't have baseball people to jump in with. I'm pretty much done. I know Babe Ruth because there's a candy bar.
Aaron Judge. Yeah.
So then, now Shy and Ava are flirting awkwardly, and, and the producer's asking if they were flirtatious, and Shy's like, yeah, I mean, on the car ride back home, Ava and I sat in the backseat together, and we pretty much, like, talked the entire time about, like, our lives, and, like, we had a really good chat about our families, and, like, what we do, and, like, how we spend our time in New York, and it just seemed like we got, like, a lot closer.
So Ava's saying, yeah, I mean, I think it's clear he has a little crush on me. So, I mean, when is he going to ask me on a date? I mean, I'm curious. Aren't you guys? Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, yeah, it wasn't really. So then we go to the pop-up brand for Shy, About Time. Something about time her there around the...
And just like that. The brand. Shy is, this is a much cooler event. It's like hip, very hipster. You can like graffiti the wall when you come in, and like there's like cool people in sweatshirts, and like the lighting's dark. It's like, it's just grungy. It's cool. It's downtown. It's like when Leah brought the ladies to a party downtown on Real Housewives of New York. It's like, whoa, this is crazy. Going below 55th Street. So, but it looks like a cool event, and the photography is cool. Everything about it does look legitimately very cool. And so, it's a nice event, and everyone shows up, and they're all honestly more impressed with Shy's event than Brooks's, because Brooks is like the sort of event that your parents throw for you. Like if you have like wealthy parents, like the, it has like the staid energy of older people, whereas Shy's is like, I'm mid 20s and I'm doing things, you know?
Even on the door to come into Shy's, there was a sticker that was like a no smoking sticker. But in it was a woman and a man, like the image of a woman and a man, like no genders allowed in this establishment. I was like, oh, okay. Well, it's better than the sticker that was on the door of Brooks's, like food court. Sbarro to the left, restrooms to the right. So they're all really impressed with this one. It's like, and Kendall's asking Ariana and Liam what they're doing for the holidays. He's like, well, I don't know, but I'll tell you this much. We're waking up Christmas morning together. Right, Ariana? And she's like, yep. Jeez. Yeah, we are.
Kendall's like, that's exciting. Are you guys spending the holidays together? Like, what part of waking up Christmas morning together?
That's the holiday.
That's the holiday, Kendall. That's the holiday. So Ariana's like, well, we're still moving at a slow pace, right, Liam? And slowing it down, but we're spending Christmas together. It's a little complex because we're saying that we're spending Christmas together, but I don't actually want to, and we'll probably flake a day before. So that's why it's a little complex.
We see that she gets a text from Hudson asking her to coffee to talk. And she tells us that she's overwhelmed with Charlie and his flirtiness. She's overwhelmed by Liam and his flirtiness and his moving a million miles a minute. She's like an overload with all these guys who just love her. What is she gonna do? So we see Gia buying a sweater at the pop-up. And Charlie's like, oh, I guess now I have to buy one. I'm gonna look like a dick. Thanks, Gia.
And like Ava is seeing Shy in the center of this cool hipster event, an event that Ava's like, wow, this is really cool. This is the sort of event that I would get invited to, like a brand would want me to be at. So she sees that he's like the star of this cool event, and it's like turning her on. And she's like, oh, I like a guy in their element. You know, I like what I see.
So then Ava's like, do you want to keep up with me? You want to hear what happened last night? You want to keep up with me? Then sit down, because this is what the fuck happened. Okay, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. And then the end of the story is going to be like, why are you asking me what happened? I don't know what happened. Okay, here we go. So me, Liam, Ariana, Shy go to another bar. And then me and Ariana go to the photo booth. And then we kiss. And then we come out of the photo booth. And then she goes back in with Liam. So then me and Shy go over to the bar. Shy, your turn now.
Ava looked at me and she was like, I think you're hot. Now, why do I think you're hot? And I was like, but I've always been hot. And it's like kind of rude of her to say. Like, what? Yeah, I wasn't hot before.
He wasn't. He really wasn't. But he became really hot tonight. So then Shy says, can I kiss you now? And then.
Yeah, because it was like very much worth the wait. It was like so worth the wait.
No one saw it because it was just like me and Shy and the bartender. It was like my dream date.
By the way, this is all told with crayon drawings.
Your as favorite. Usual.
The crayon drawings are back. And then we hit up Charlie naturally as one does at 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. And yes. Then the four of us go drive to Charlie's house and we all get out of the car except for Liam, because Liam says he's going to go walk Ariana's dogs while Leah hangs out with me. She hung out with me, Shy, and Charlie. Like, why? I don't know. So then me and Shy made out in Charlie's kitchen and then we left. And that was the end of my night.
Mm-hmm. And then the producer says, what was the vibe of Ariana and Charlie? She's like, I can't. Oh, my God. No, I can't. Dead.
So they ask Ariana what happened. And she's like, I mean, a lot. Like, I crashed out in the last 24 hours. There were so many different things going through my head. God forgive me. Oh, my God. God forgive me. God forgive me. Just cut to Liam being like, but I asked you to Christmas. How could you? How could you do this?
We were going to hang out with my mom and dad. You said that they were your favorite people, too. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, next week is the season finale, and we're going to get to the bottom of what happened with these two. But I think they hooked up. I'm going to say it right now.
Yeah, because they show in the preview that Charlie comes in for a kiss, and then it goes to black.
Yeah, but that's probably
yeah, it looks out. Like it.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, they faked us out like 10 times this season. I keep falling for it.
Yeah. Well, everyone, thank you for being here. It was an exciting episode in the world of Next Gen New York City.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Itchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call. Big yay. It's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our Palliger. It's Karen Gallagher.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kissarino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy. It's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP. It's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher. It's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz. It's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it. It's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that. It's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes. It's Melissa St. Rose.
She's our princess. It's Rebecca Prince.
Harris.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.